and open to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Now, the last time we were together, we talked about Jesus and the lady from Syrophoenicia. And this is probably the only time that Jesus left the land of the Jews. Look at verse 24 of chapter 7 of Mark's Gospel. And from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house, and he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. Now, this is very unusual. A Greek of Syrophoenicia. She was a Syrophoenician woman by nation. And she begged, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil, that means demon, out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet or fitting to take the children's bread and cast it into the under the dogs. Now he's doing something with her. She knows what he's doing. We talked about that. And she said, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil, demon, is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil, demon, gone out, and her daughter laying upon a bed. Now, there's some things that we talked about. Jesus went north to the area of Tyre and Sidon. That's what we call Lebanon today. He meets a woman who's coming down from the north to find him. Her daughter is demon-possessed, and she meets him at the border there of Phoenicia. And here we see one of the greatest illustrations of faith in the Bible. She has never met Jesus. She's only heard the good news, right? And she goes to find him. And she asks him to heal her daughter. And he tests her faith. And she wouldn't give in. She wouldn't quit. She really believed he would help her. And the daughter was healed. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I wanted to give you some lessons real quickly, a few quickie lessons that we learned from that. Now, this lady is a picture of all the lost people in the Gentile world who, like her, can be saved, but not without a personal relationship with Jesus. No one gets saved unless they come to Jesus Christ, right? No one. And that's, in fact, Romans chapter 10, just write this down, verses 13 and 14 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, that's a non-Jew. For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody has to hear the gospel, and everyone has an opportunity when they hear the gospel to receive it. And everyone can be saved if they just will do that. But you know, the key is somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. There's a second lesson that I find in this real quickly before we move on. And that is, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care how rich you are, how poor you are, what your nationality is, whether you can read and write. You know, somebody says, well, I can't read. Can you write your name? And the guy says, no, but I can trace, you know. And I had a guy in our church in Texas that got saved. His wife was young. There was a young couple in their early 20s. He had never been able to read and write. And his wife, they lived right across from us. We lived in a rent house, and they lived across from us. We invited him to church. She got saved, and then she started bringing him, and he got saved. And she taught him to read, taking a King James Bible, and they'd sit together with their Bibles, and he learned how to read by reading the Bible, which I think, what better way to read, learn how to read? And so in our modern educated world, we don't think that that's possible, but there's a lot of people who are very illiterate, and yet, you know, they can be saved too. Someone just has to tell them about Jesus, and that's what she did. He came to church, he heard the gospel, couldn't read a word I was reading. He had a Bible in front of him, didn't know what he was seeing. And she was showing it to him, he couldn't read, but he could hear. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he got saved. We baptized him. I think we baptized them both, and at the same, you know, one right after the other. And it was just wonderful. So everybody must hear the gospel, and somebody's got to tell them. Now, again, God's no respecter of persons. That's number two. You know, a few verses back, Jesus says a person was not made unclean by what they eat, right, or what they drink. But everybody needs Jesus. We're not unclean because of who we are as far as our race or all those things. We're not saved because we're lost by our nature. There's a third thing, and that's this. The demon-possessed girl pictures every person that's without Jesus, lost, totally in bondage. Just as she couldn't do anything about her condition, so the lost person in our town tonight is unable to do one thing about their condition without God. And you know, that's why salvation, the gospel, pardon me, is so important. We must take it to them. And you know, God will take that gospel tract that we share. God will take that gospel message that we share, that invitation to church and so forth, and he will water it, and he will draw them. You know, the religionist says do. But the Bible says it's already done. It's already done. Jesus paid it all. And we must take that wonderful message to everybody. One more quick lesson that I learned from this, and we'll move on. The mother pictures, I think, a concerned, interceding, soul-winning friend. For she actually identifies herself with her daughter. She says, she's my daughter, and there's something, you know, please help us. You know, we must understand our responsibility to the lost. Every lost person in our sphere of influence is someone that God wants us to reach. Every one of them. Family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, schoolmates. We're to intercede on their behalf, pray for them. We're to plead with God on their behalf. And we're to tell them. I keep running out of gospel tracts. I take a stack of them like this and I put them on my dashboard. And so when I get ready to go into a store, I'll put some in my pocket or drop them off at the Whataburger or wherever when I get a water or a tea or something. It fits in that little speaker post real well. And, you know, I've only a couple of times found them on the ground. One time I think the wind did it, but someone took it. Don't know what they did with it, but, you know, it says, is there something missing in your life? And I stick it where it sticks up like that, you know, where they can see it, and someone took it. So we need to pray for those people that we leave the gospel tracts for, and when we knock on doors and so forth. So we were lost once, and somebody told us, so we need to return the favor. I got two more. I thought I only had four, but I came up with six. Jesus, who seems to ignore the mother and then follows her with a rebuke, actually heard and answered her prayer. He was really not testing her. He was testing his disciples. Remember, we talked about that. There's only one time when Jesus will not respond to the prayer of one of his children, and that's when we have unconfessed sin in our life. But he hears it, but he won't respond. So we have to keep that all prayed up. And then number six, the disciples, as we saw in Matthew, picture many a preoccupied Christian church member who doesn't really have any, they don't care about the lost, they just go on. And, you know, the unconcern and preoccupation with things that Christians have in this world is just tragic. And, oh, I've got a seventh. I thought I had a few less, but I guess I had more. Notice that the mother's faith was in the person of Jesus. Not in what Jesus could do, but in him. And when you get saved, when Jesus delivers you, it's because you place your faith in him, right? And secondly, she believed in what he could do, but her faith was in him. She called him Lord, and we saw that in Matthew. You know, everybody has problems. If you don't have one, you're going to have one. And you're either coming out of one, in one, or headed to one. It's just the way it goes. But, you know, we have to believe that Jesus has the ability to solve any and all of our problems like this woman did. He can do it. He can solve it. Now, he may not solve it the way we think it needs to be solved, but he always works it out for our good and his glory, doesn't he? She knew he would, and she wouldn't give up. She hung on to him, kind of like Jacob. You remember when reading in the Old Testament about Jacob, who the pre-incarnate Jesus met with him, right? And he grabbed hold of him. The angel of the Lord is a picture of the Lord Jesus before he had a body. And he hung on to him. He said, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. And the Lord reached down and touched his leg and made him kind of partly crippled, remember? And Jacob drug that foot around the rest of his life. Job said, even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. Even if he lets me die, I'm going to trust him. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, that brings us to verse 31. Very important passage here. And you'll miss it if you're not careful. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee. Through the midst of the coasts, that means the borders, of a place called Decapolis. Now, the word Decapolis, you've heard of Deca, it means 10 cities. This is where Jesus had been before, and he healed the demon-possessed man of the area called Gadara. Remember, the man was totally demon-possessed. He was living in the graveyard, the tombs, remember? And he hears Jesus is coming. He runs out of the tombs, and he's crying out to Jesus, and the Lord Jesus healed him. And what happened? He became a peaceful man, got his mind back, and his body was healed. And, you know, by the way, the world doesn't have peace. Without Jesus, there is no peace. And Jesus brought peace, and he wanted to follow Jesus and go with him. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go back home and tell folks what happened to you. By the way, that's what Jesus wants us to do. And so he says, okay. And he goes back to Decapolis. Decapolis means an area of 10 towns, cities, and he did. And did you know that thousands, according to chapter 8, verse 1, thousands of people came and follow Jesus as a result? Now, here's the point. When Jesus comes back to the area, they fled by the flocked by the thousands, pardon me, to see Jesus. Why? Because one man went back into their midst, this man from Gadara, and told him what Jesus had done for him. They didn't come to see a miracle. There's no indication of that. They didn't come to get healed. No indication of that. They came to see the man who had healed their friend. Now you get the application, right? When we share the gospel, we are sharing the person of Jesus. And our purpose is to share him. And witnessing is simply telling someone what we've seen, what we've heard, and what's happened to us. It's not hard. It's not hard. And we're to be witnessing wherever we are. Wherever we are. In fact, if we just be salt and light, as the Bible says, in the world in which we live, what God would do in our midst would be amazing. The trouble is, our lives often happen to be very compromised, and we're afraid of offending someone. Everybody's afraid of offending anybody about anything these days. But, you know, the average lost person doesn't know who Jesus is. The only Jesus he knows is the Jesus he sees in us. Someone has wisely said, "You're the best Christian somebody knows." We sing a song by B.B. McKinney, "While passing through this world of sin and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without, within, let others see Jesus in you." That's a beautiful truth. They need to see Jesus. You know, like the man of Gadara, we're to share with everybody the message of Christ. Everybody. All of us have people in our lives, at work or wherever we might go, that need Jesus. God's method of evangelism is one sharing with one, and another, and another, and another. It's exciting to think, I think, that this one guy who was just out of his mind, literally, he was so demon-possessed, he was out of his mind, living in an unclean place, and Jesus healed him and gave him clarity of mind, and he went back to town. Don't you know what they might have thought when they saw him coming? Oh boy, here he comes, better hide. Because he was wild. They put him in chains, remember? And they couldn't bind him. He would break the chains. And yet he comes into town calm and cool and collected. What happened to you? Oh, I met a man. his name is Jesus of Nazareth. He goes back home and he tells people what Jesus did for him. And no more than a few weeks later, thousands of people follow him to meet Jesus. You know, witnessing for Christ is more than having a little fish on a lid of the trunk of your car, or wearing a brooch or a necklace with a cross on it, or even going to church. Witnessing is telling others what Jesus is doing in your life right now. And it's easy. It's easy. And if everyone would do what that man did, our Decapolis would be just like that. And it's possible. It's possible. And all we're responsible for is the ones that God places in our sphere of influence. And all the spheres of influence interlock, and behold, one guy. Just one. Wonder what God could do with two in our town, or four. It's certainly possible. Well, let's pray about that. Lord, thank you for the opportunities that you give us to share about Jesus. Help us to avail ourselves of them with a gospel tract, with a personal word, with a card, a prayer, whatever way you give us an opportunity to do so. Lord, help us to do it, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you for coming. We're a little early, but thank you for being here. Be careful going home. Wash your hands, as they say. Use the hand sanitizer. I doubt if we'll have any problems other than normal stuff, but not worried about that. God's got that in control, right? All right. Just make sure you got lots of toilet paper. But amazing. Toilet paper, because everybody's buying up toilet paper.